on WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Cheer Show.
Where are you going? What happened? Were you late? Where were you? Awesome. By the time you got here, we were in the theme song. I just was going to start and do the show without you.
Oh, man.
What happened?
I was just
going to do the show without you. That's weird. You just showed up.
Traffic.
Traffic. Yeah. I know you hate traffic.
Yeah.
Let's get back to this Arminian Calvinist chart.
All right.
You don't like my chart, do you?
I'm going to talk like this for the rest of your show.
All right.
To make it interesting.
Put your teeth in. I was
talking to our friend down in Georgia.
Who's that?
I like to make fun of his accent, so I'm going to talk about this rest of the show.
All right.
That's Brother Gene. Brother Gene. He loves when we make fun of him.
Does he?
By the way, Gene, we have Homer Simpson spice rack here for you when you're ready.
Doesn't Gene have a rebel flag on his Cadillac?
I hope not.
you're in trouble.
Just you good old boys. All right. What are we doing today?
The God of Calvinism can but won't. The God of Arminianism wants to but can't. Our God can and will.
Yeah.
Can I repeat that?
I love it.
The God of Calvinism.
First of all, hold on. Before you read it again,
yeah.
Stop before what we believe.
Okay.
Okay, you ready? I'll give you my reaction. Go ahead.
Okay. The God of Calvinism can but won't.
Okay.
The God of Arminianism wants to but can't. Our God can and will.
All right.
What a God. The God
Amazing.
Of Calvinism is able but not willing. He's able. He's able. He could save anybody he wants to. He could do it because he gives some people the faith to believe. So that proves it. That proves he can do it. He's able, but he doesn't want to do it for everybody. What about the rest of them, Martin?
The hell with them.
The hell with them. Now, on the other hand, we have the God of Arminianism. He's willing. He wants to save everybody. He sent his son to save everybody, but his hands are tied because he can't do anything if you don't accept him.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
So he's able but not willing. Now,
I can imagine. Can you imagine the whiny God of Arminianism? Oh, sinner, please. Oh, please believe in me. Oh, please. Oh,
that's a good title for this show.
Believe in me.
That's a good title for the show.
The whiny God
of Arminianism.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there. He's powerless.
But people are poo-pooing this. They're going, that's a ridiculous teaching. Analyze your own doctrine.
Analyze it.
If you're in a church today, this is what you believe. You believe this. You believe this, that he's willing but not able. If you believe in free will, then this is what you believe. Let's face the fact. I want to open this thing up.
Our brother Clyde sent me an email. Clyde and I were talking, and I said, imagine one day, Clyde, according to our enemies, when we stand before God, we're going to have to apologize to God. And here's what we're going to have to say. God, I am so sorry. I thought that you were all-powerful. I am so sorry for believing that you are greater than you actually are. And I am so sorry for believing that what your son accomplished, was more effective than it really is.
That brings me to something I was going to say at the end of this chart, because our enemies, those who say that we're teaching the wrong things and that we are deceivers, they say, you guys are in trouble. If you guys are wrong about this, you're in big trouble. But at least we're safe with our teaching.
Yeah.
At least we're safe. As if believing that God is willing but not able, listen to me, God is not able because his hands are tied if you don't agree with him. You're telling me that's a safe doctrine? You want to stand before Christ and say, I'm sorry, I didn't think you could do it. I didn't think your will was stronger than the human will. I underestimated your love. You call that a safe teaching? What about the Calvinists, able but not willing? Or do you want to saddle God with purposely damning his creation
to
hell for eternity?
That. For those of you who listen to us and you hate us, because if you're religious, you do. I mean, let's face it, because we're taking everything out of your hands and putting it all in God's hands. If we're wrong, we're going to have to stand before God and say, God, we are sorry for teaching that you are greater than you are, and we're sorry for believing that your son's work was more effective than it really is.
We're sorry. We thought you were willing and able.
Yeah.
We agree with the Calvinists. We know you're able, but we also agree with the Arminians that you're willing. And we put it together and we get a God that is both willing and able.
And this is the only doctrine that effectively deals with the sin issue. Calvinism and Arminianism leave sin and death in this universe forever, and God is powerless to get rid of it.
That is
but
also
what
common.
We're saying, what we're teaching, is that sin is so bad, death is so bad, that God is going to obliterate it. He's not going to keep it perpetuated in his universe forever.
And ours is the only belief of these three that we're telling you, Calvinism, a God who is able, a God who can, but a God who won't, versus Arminianism, which most of you listening to me have been in, a God who wants to but can't, he's willing but not able. Ours is the only teaching that makes God willing and able. We put the best of both of these doctrines together and say that God's willing and able, and we reject the unscriptural part of these doctrines, which is the belief in eternal torment. And how weird are we when our belief is the only one that gives God the willingness and the ability?
But Martin, isn't it just your doctrine? Aren't you making it up? No, he's not.
No,
1
I'm
Timothy 4, verse 9, faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome. You should welcome this. For this are we toiling and being reproached. Paul was reproached for this teaching. What is that teaching? That we rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. These things be charging and teaching.
And one of the key words there is especially of believers, not exclusively of believers. And that's
not
what we're taught, because I think the Calvinists and the Arminians would both have that doctrine in common, wouldn't they, Dan, that only of believers. I mean, the Calvinists say God forces you to be a believer, right? Calvinists, God makes you a believer. The Arminians say you decide to believe, but in common there is belief. So they will both agree that he saves those, but not...
That's perfect.
That verse doesn't
I just wrote
say
that in my margin. Yeah. It's not exclusively a believer.
It's not exclusively.
Especially a believer.
Especially a believer, which means that he also saves unbelievers.
That's right.
Now, that is the most radical teaching you're going to hear on Christian airwaves, that God saves unbelievers.
Yep.
Listen to what we're saying. God saves unbelievers.
How does he save them, Martin?
By giving them belief.
Because, and on what basis?
That's a good question.
What's the basis of
saving the Calvinist basis of giving them belief? He just picks them randomly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the Arminian basis of belief?
Pick themselves.
They pick them. They have to be somehow worthy or smart to pick. What's the basis of our teaching of belief?
It's that God chooses.
Right. We agree with the Calvinists, but we go the extra mile and say that he's eventually going to give belief to everyone. That's the key.
And the reason he does it is because the work of his Son was effective.
The work of
the Look
cross.
Look at the cross
That's
of Calvary, friends. Look at the cross of Calvary. Tell me that what all the suffering he went through was not enough. Tell me that all his suffering, his pain, his sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, all the agony that Jesus Christ went through on that cross, and you tell me that it wasn't enough.
That's what
tell
they say.
Tell me it's not enough.
That's what they say.
I dare you to tell me that.
I know.
It's almost a slap in the face.
Almost.
It is enough.
It is a slap in the face.
I was trying to be cordial.
Yeah, for the once in your life. Here's these three views in a nutshell. The Calvinist God has the ability and the power to save all mankind, but refuses to do so. The Arminian God would like to save all mankind, but does not have the power and ability to do so. Our God, the God that Sheridan and I teach, and that many, many people are hearing of this God today, they're finding it in the Scriptures, taking the God who can and will, this God has the power. Listen to me. I'm preaching the gospel. This God has the power and the ability and the desire to save all mankind and will do so. In the fullness of times, 1 Timothy 2:6, that in the fullness of times he will reconcile all to himself.
For even as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. It doesn't say those who are in Christ. It says, as in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Notice the word Christ, his title, his office, what he does.
And he is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers, which means that those who have faith now have something more.
That's right. And that's what Paul goes on in verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 15, yet each in his own class, the first fruit, Christ, thereupon those who are Christ in his presence.
And we're not robbing you of your specialness.
That's a special salvation.
Yes, it's special. I think that's a good word to use, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think people are afraid we're robbing them of the specialness.
Yeah.
Don't I get something for believing that? Well, actually,
you do. Yeah.
You are special.
If you're a believer today, guess what?
It's miraculous.
Guess what you get?
You win the big prize.
Christ is coming.
Tell them what they've won.
Here's
man.
What they won. Now, what's behind door number three? And here's what they won. They win the fact that because of faith in Christ, there's coming of... Well, first of all, you're justified, you're holy in Christ.
All that going on today.
You got in a celestial
transported into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
And the next step for you is you're going to meet the Lord in the air.
And then you will be ever with the Lord.
And He's going to snatch us away to celestial glories, and we're going to live and be with Christ in our celestial realm for the next two eons, the millennial kingdom and the new heavens and new earth. That's our special salvation.
That's pretty good. And you have that if you believe today.
And an unbeliever doesn't get that.
An unbeliever doesn't have that.
He's dead during that time.
Dead.
He is destroyed. And then at the great white throne, he stands before God, and he's cast in the lake of fire, which is
the second death. What happens then?
And then at the end of that period called the new heavens and new earth, he's going to abolish death.
Christ will abolish death.
Christ, and that means all those in the lake of fire.
Will come out of the lake of fire, justified.
Be justified and vivified because he will abolish the last enemy.
So you see
death.
How much sense 1 Timothy 4:10 makes. Look at this. Not even the King James Version can screw up this verse. God is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. That one word especially throws a wrench into your doctrine if you're in church. It throws a complete wrench in it. How do you explain it? He's the Savior of all mankind. Well, that's just believers. Well, especially a believer. That screws everything up.
But, Martin, if you teach this, people will think they can sin all they want, and they're going to... It's going to... necessary. You know what actually... You know what Clarence Larkin says? Clarence Larkin's a great dispensational Baptist. And he says there is a moral reason for hell because it restrains men from sin.
Oh, it does, huh?
Yes.
Oh, it does? It restrains people from sin. The Christian world has been teaching this hellfire and brimstone for thousands of years, and what's it done for the world? Yeah, people are falling over themselves to go to Christ, aren't they?
Yeah,
this hell doctrine, it works like crazy, man. Where do I get a bottle of that stuff? Look what it's done.
If you went to Christ because you're trying to escape hell, you're probably not a believer because you're not believing good news.
That's right.
You're believing bad news. If the only reason you're religious or you go to church...
Fire insurance.
...is because of fire insurance, you're not a believer.
No.
You have not trusted Christ. You're just looking for a fire escape, and it's a false teaching. You're believing a lie. But if you believe that Christ died for your sins, he was entombed and roused again the third day, we preach good news, not bad
news.
That's
an evangel, what Christ has done for you. Exactly right.
The gospel is concerning God's Son, not eternal torment. The gospel is concerning God's Son, not what you do or your accomplishments. Time goes fast.
And he is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers.
Program.
Think about that word especially. Please, think about that word especially.
Hey, by the way, get a concordant version
and
look up every reference to this word especially. Everyone, that's a homework assignment. And if you do it, call me and let me know. 847-312-4676.
Hey,
do that assignment.
Hey, tomorrow, let's start with that. Let's go over those especially verses tomorrow. That's your homework assignment, Sheridan. I'm Martin Zender. We'll be here tomorrow. I trust you'll be with us.